Welcome back to This Is Hardcore Podcast. You just heard Truth and Rights, the track Games. For those of you who are unaware, our friend Eddie Sutton, Eddie Leeway, when we announced This Is Hardcore on Monday, the big question was, who's in Leeway? What's going to happen? And I figured I'd shed some light for people listening. At the time, before we announced, Eddie and I had talked a couple times, and I had said to him, hey, listen, if you still want to come and be a part of the big dance, you let me know. And he said his guys are ready, and he hopes his health can keep up. And he said that if for some reason he was unable due to health, he would back out. To which then I said, you know, as long as you think you can make it, you're on the bill. And when we announced it, a lot of the comments, Facebook and otherwise, were, who's going to be in Leeway? What's going to happen? And in their little bit of time between the announce and everything else, his situation, as I talked about in a couple other podcast episodes, was that he went from, you know, trying to fight it to having it in a hospice. So with us, what am I going to do? Eddie Leeway has a huge impact on hardcore punk. And over the last almost 20 years, I've built a good relationship with the guy. And the last thing I'm going to fucking do is hit him up and say, hey, man, I know you're in hospice, so I'm going to take your band off my fest. Just doesn't work like that. Not with me. So I hit up a couple people that are friends with Eddie and people from New York Hardcore and just basically reiterated to them what I just said to all you listening. And that was the plan. The plan was to hang on as long as Eddie is able to make something happen. And then a friend of mine, longtime friend of mine, in fact, Mark, who was in My Body, My Blood, well, and other projects, he's not just that. He had hit me up and asked me what I thought about doing something special for Eddie. And the reason why he came to that was that he had heard from his sister most recently, and it sounds like Eddie's on the downturn here. And his sister had reached out to people asking for stories and things about Eddie to share, friends and family, kind of keep his memory going. He's currently still alive as you're listening to us, unless you listen to this like a month for after April 18th or more, then I don't know what he's going to be like. But things are not looking well for our friend Eddie. And so I don't know what the outcome's going to be, if I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not mentally prepared to roll into whatever mode. And I think our Lord will put the path in front of us on how we're going to take this. But just as a clarification, even if Leeway's not on the bill, you know, this was about Eddie. You know, this is about Eddie. We'll go back. So when there was no This Is Hardcore, there was also not really even a sense that Leeway would ever play again. And somehow in the same time frame where Sean Agnew and I had discussed doing a This Is Hardcore, we had found out about Leeway, and I tried to reach out from different ways to get a hold of Eddie Leeway. And I finally got on a call with him, and I'm driving to a sword fighting practice, and I get on a call with Eddie, to where he starts asking me questions. Super funny, because he's like, well, just so you know, I'd like to know, like, what makes you think that you would be able to put on a show like this? Which, when you're trying to do something like your first festival and you're 26 years old, or I think at the time I might have been 25, turning 26, it might not have been that early into the summer yet. So I was kind of already indignant. Like, who the fuck is Eddie Leeway to ask me what I'm able to do, plus what, you know, with Sean in my corner, what we could put together. And the reason why the conversation even was struck up is because I heard that they were playing a show in New Jersey like a week before or a week after the fest. And at the time, Leeway had done some European stuff and started planning some America stuff. And one of the first ones was going to be like some version of like New Jersey having a This Is Hardcore. And Eddie was like asking all these questions, you know, like, I got to make sure we're going to be able to get taken care of here. And we're not just going to willy-nilly jump into some kind of new situation. And the end result was that he was like, listen, if you want to take your fest and move it to the following weekend, I'll make the moves to have Leeway come and play. But we are currently only able to play this one weekend in August. So it's kind of like, all right, man, I guess you're not going to play this shit. And I don't really know too much about the other show. I even tried Googling it and looking it up. I do know later on they would play some shows with like Cold World and stuff at like that Club Deep place. But my first impression of Eddie is much like talking to a lot of guys in hardcore who have been out of the mix and come back strong. You know, the way that they come back is kind of like, I know what the fuck I'm doing and I've been fucked over before and this has got to be my way or we're not going to make it happen. And I can't tell you how many times you get a fish on the hook like an Eddie Leeway and you talk to him and everything he's doing is almost like telling you this ain't going to work, but my own morbid curiosity doesn't allow me to hang up the phone. And then a year later comes and he's already done with the band. And I read on the one of these blog spot zines that was at like was at the center of the internet at the time. And he was saying Leeway's basically done for good. And he's got this new project. And I've been talking to my boy Zach, who's been on the podcast as well. Zach was telling me that he was working on a new project called Truth and Rights with Eddie Leeway. So for me, I was like, oh shit, it's gonna get crazy. So within a year or so, I got linked up with Eddie to do a Truth and Rights show. And it, like, he couldn't pull that together. And then towards a little bit further down the line, I would talk to him. He would be like, hey, Joe, you know, we love to play the big dance. And I'm like, what's the big dance? And he'd say, This Is Hardcore. He's like, your thing's like the big dance. That's the one I got to play. I got to get my new band going. And eventually we did Truth and Rights. I think it was until This Is Hardcore 2010. And right around that time period, he also was doing stuff under the name The Eddie Leeway Show with Mark Thousands, my bro from My Body, My Blood. And I think we actually ended up doing their first show. It was one of the first times Breakdown played in fucking forever in Philly. And the show didn't sell out the Barbary because apparently it was the last day of the last episode of Lost, which I don't know anything about TV shows, so I didn't fucking know. Nor would I assume that that would hold people back from seeing Breakdown and Eddie Leeway show. It was kind of funny because like Mike DeJohns would break down and he's got some animosity at that time. I know he doesn't have any animosity towards Eddie now, but then he had a little animosity and he's sticking to his side. And it was like, it was just, the whole situation was very Eddie Leeway, you know? But yeah, over the years of just talking to Eddie and then inviting him to just come and hang out at the fest. Yo, bro, bring some merch, sell some stuff, hang out. And eventually, you know, we did get to get Leeway to come and play This Is Hardcore. And we got Leeway to play some badass fucking shows, man. And he never let me down. And he was always super honest beyond the fault as far as when band shit didn't happen. Like, we had a Black Friday Marauder show. And Eddie Leeway show was set to play and it didn't work out. And I'm in the middle of pouring concrete. He's like, Joe, I'm so sorry. I got to back out. Blah, blah, blah. We can't fucking make it. I wish we could get this bastard to play. Where most bands are like, yo, it's not going to work out. Things aren't lining up. He's always been very transparent and you can feel the emotion. And this is where it come, what I'm getting at in the long and short of this is like the emotion that how that had Eddie was that he always wanted to be back in the mix and rolling forward. And I mean, they were a part of the some of them Bad Brain shows and CB's towards the end of the CB's run. They did Europe. They did these things with Leeway and it just didn't pan out between him, Pokey, and AJ for whatever reasons. But it was awesome when he started making Leeway happen again. And obviously, I'm not a super old school fucking dude. You know, I missed out on the peak Leeway, depending on who you ask. But I did see them quite a few times in the end of the 90s and then, you know, in this time period I'm talking about. And I just really grew to like Eddie because he wasn't like a complete pariah in the New York hardcore scene, but definitely some people were friends with some people that didn't like him. So Eddie was always very transparent and he would tell a lot of really funny stories and he was very okay with not everybody liking him. And I enjoy that. I feel like sometimes people in hardcore and people in bands, they can't be themselves and they can't speak freely because they're worried about what they say and the repercussions socially or whatever. But Eddie just had this, you know, no care attitude, like fuck him or, you know, it's not my problem that he did blah, blah, blah. And you just get hit with some of these like weird tidbits. But as a person, he was giving and kind in his way and very thankful. This podcast is number 153. So, you know, 110 something episodes ago, episode 41, I had Eddie Leeway on this show. And so if you haven't listened to it, go back to episode 41 and listen to what he had to say. I used to play these opening tracks very early in the show. I would play stuff from Truth and Rights. I think it's one of the most interesting bands that could come from hardcore. And the way that those guys all could play. We're talking about guys from Bulldoze, Agents of Man, Mike Demi's been in everything. And then you, and Ray from One for One, and Mac Lapelli and all his pedigrees. And then you got Eddie Leeway, and this band and this sound was just different from what an old school guy would present to hardcore in a modern era. And I really liked, and still I'm just mind blown by some of the dark lyrics. If you're ever bored, go ahead and really try to decipher the lyrics to the song Games, because there's some fucking dark shit in that, man. Really some fucking dark shit in that. And so, for me specifically, a lot of things go through my mind about what do we do and how does this keep happening. But it's just sad to see the hardcore guys, kings, legends, heroes, anti-heroes, you know, semi-villains, what are you going to call them? What happens to these guys? Every couple of years, we're going to lose more of them. When I was a kid, rabies died, and that to me was like, you know, one of the apostles dying, like of hardcore. That's insane. And just over the years, the older I get, the more of these key figures and these key bands at this key moment in hardcore drop like flies and more friends. And I mean, for all you younger folks, be blessed that you've been going to shows and some of your friends haven't dropped off, but the longer you're in anything, the more you're going to see less of your friends because everyone gets old. And all of these guys in these old school period are older than me by far. I mean, they were going to shows when I was just out of diapers. And so seeing some of these guys and getting to know them, not as well as I'd like, but well enough to be on a good rapport with them. Sad. Sad to see that some of their hopes and dreams didn't get fulfilled, or maybe they missed the mark, or, you know, like Eddie was really good with openly saying like the reasons why he felt like Leeway just didn't get the shot that they could, or how they fucked it up, whatever which way. I actually, Dan Crowley did Mike Gibbons a while back on his podcast, and I was like, you know what, let me get some air, and I'll jump back in and get Mike Gibbons, and it never came to be. And then when he passed, I felt like shit, because there's so much about Mike Gibbons and what he put into that that really helped define what those guys would be most known for. And it's just a weird situation. So circling back to the beginning of this, we're not going to take Leeway off the bill directly just because he's in the hospice. And should he pass, we'll figure out what the right way to honor him is. And I'm leaving that open. You know, Matty Pasta and Mark and those guys, very capable of doing like a tribute set and things. And we'll let his family and the people around him decide what they want to do before we go forward and make an executive decision. But I just like to take a time to say that Eddie always was himself, at least to me, or what he presented to me as himself, I found to be consistent throughout the time. The chaos of him, the funny stories, the darkness of it, his humor. And, you know, I look at him like a tragic figure. Talent, opportunity, but just didn't line up in the best of ways for him. And from the times when he was getting sicker, I'd stay in touch with him, obviously, through the podcast and afterwards. And, you know, we even had him come back and play This Is Hardcore in 2022. It was the first fest back. It was a big day. And I was saying to him, like, yo, if you're able to do this, you got to play, you got to play. And it was something else. Everyone gave Eddie a massive amount of respect. And the time limit for the set went a little bit further, but the guys in Kublacan were so gracious and said, listen, that was for Eddie Leeway, man. We'll cut a song or two out of our set so that we don't go over time. And I just feel like that gesture of understanding that it's Eddie fucking Leeway and what he was going through 2 years ago just shows you the character of Kublacan, but also the status that Eddie Leeway has, that a band like Kublacan's like, yeah, you know what? The old guy can get a couple more minutes. And I remember being up on stage and giving him a hug, and it was hard, man. I was worried. But then, you know, we're almost 2 years after this, so I felt confident. I want to say we talked quite a few times, man, but it does fuck me up. I mean, even up to January, I'm looking at it right now. You know, March 1st, we were still. And then I wished him happy birthday, and he sent me a text. And that was the last time I got something back from him, was April 7th. So in my head, you know, like right before the announce, I thought we were still, you know, going to do this. And I'm not writing him off, but from my understanding, from what his sister had said to a couple people that is on the downside and declining, I just want to let you know that I'm glad that we had Eddie come on the podcast, and I'm glad that we had him come and play This Is Hardcore. And I loved his heart, his fighting spirit, to be like, nah, as long as I can do it, I'm going to fucking do this. And it was really fucking cool. You know, really fucking cool, to the point where we were even trying to link him up with Zach from 185 Miles South to do some stuff, and he was up for it. Here's what he says to me: I really want to make this happen, so I'll keep you up to date regarding my health, because I'm not going to bullshit you and put you in a half-assed performance on my end. My guys are more than capable. It's about me and my health at this point, but there's plenty of time. Have a good weekend, my love and respect. And, you know, I'll save some of these texts, but they're all leading up to him confirming and basically talking about his physical status and the pain he's going through. And then the juxtaposition of the hope. And he was going through clinical trials and all this stuff. And I just thought, like, especially if you listen to podcasts, he talks about breaking his own damn neck while locked up in the tombs. And in my head, I'm like, this dude broke his own neck. He's not going to die of cancer before he gets one more shot. So that's where it stands. Eddie Leeway is declining. The intention from us was to have him perform at the fest. And my intention is not to pull them off. Should he pass, then we'll have a conversation and see going forward what the right thing to do, how we can help the family, what makes the most sense. And so I will say that a lot of the conversations that I have, Eddie would always have funny stories, and a lot of them would just, they would betray the trust of him telling me shit, but he was very candid, not cynical, but kind of a realist. And I like that. I enjoy that in a person. And he had a funny way of turning phrases. But there's older guys in hardcore who get stuck on the idea of, you know, no one wanting to hear whatever new stuff. I've never seen somebody more confident and excited about a new project the way he had about Truth and Rights. And, you know, despite booking them on the fest and, you know, championing their music when the record finally came out, it just never really got what I think it could have got. Not that it would be on tour opening for Tsunami and Kublacon or anything like that, but I thought, you know, it's really solid music. And maybe that's the issue, because it's such good music that goes over the head, or it's not as beat down as some people want or whatever. It's just a weird time. And so Eddie Leeway ended up being the guy who interviewed me for an hour and a half on my way to a fight practice just to tell me to move my fest a week later and they might be able to do it, to being someone who I end up on the phone with quite often for, and I got on the phone with him, it'd be an hour, hour and a half, and just absorbing whatever chaos or thoughts he had. And, you know, he was very positive and really was supportive of modern hardcore at the time and throughout coming back, you know? I mean, he almost had his own 20-year run, if you really think about it, just being around and back. And so a lot to be said, but a lot of things I don't want to say because some of it's fucked up in the sense of funny, but it's about other people. Some of it's just crazy stories. And I also think that anybody who's bored should go to Smoking World podcast that he did in like 2020 with Hoya. That was another one. And he goes deep into a lot of stuff. And should we think on the darker side of things? There's a lot to be said about what Leeway did and what Eddie did and how Eddie sounded and the things that Leeway did that would be important because other bands would follow suit and want to sound like Leeway and want to go to Normandy Sound and do, you know, like there's a lot of impact that people don't see that comes directly from Chris Williamson and Leeway and how everybody kind of followed suit after that. And so, yeah. This isn't a rest in peace, but my man's in declining health and my intentions were always pure. I don't have anything else much to say. This is hardcore. I'm going to be getting up in 4.5 hours to go to work, come home, and then drive to play the Overcome Festival in North Carolina. So check out Overcome Fest. We talked about it last week. We posted a bunch about it. And if you're listening to this, it'll probably come out about 9 hours before we go on sale, but This Is Hardcore 2024 is going on sale. It's going to be pretty fucking awesome. The lineup, I think, we did a great job, or at least the best job that we could do. I'm proud of it. The response we got made me very happy. Reddit was unkind, but that's what Reddit people do. I enjoy the comments when they're negative, regardless if it's attacked at me or the fest. A lot of cool bands are going to play this fest. It's going to be a great weekend. And, yeah, this is HardcoreFest.com. We're going to see out at 9 a.m. next week. Come back strong. No more long drives, long hours. Back on more of a normal schedule and keep pumping these out. Couldn't get a guest on. And glad I did, because I was fucking wiped out. So thank you for supporting the podcast. And pray for Eddie. And if you see any posts regarding his health, or unfortunately, should he pass, please reshare. Think to support the family. And I'll keep you posted on what the fest ends up doing. Should it be a tribute set, or if we just take money at the show, try to get it to his family. But that's all in God's hands right now. And should Eddie have the opportunity to listen to it, love you, man. Thank you for everything you did. The insight, the humor, the fun, the friendship, the great stories. The guy who was happy just coming down and being a part of the festival as an attendee when his band wasn't playing. A lot of people would be miffed or upset that they don't get the carte blanche to have their band to always be on the bill. Nettie was just happy. And that was our running joke, because he called it the big dance. And I just wanted Eddie to have one more big dance. And it doesn't seem like that's going to happen, but I really appreciate him supporting and talking about This Is Hardcore and hitting me up and being like, yo, kid, that fucking lineup's killer. And that's sick. And just being very positive. So I love you, Eddie. And that's all I got to say.